From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. I'm Mario Ritter in Washington.
And I'm Anna Mateo. In the second half of today's show, we will hear about a possible health crisis facing people in separatist areas of eastern Ukraine.
But first, we hear about more than a dozen women who died recently in India because of bad drugs.
Laboratory tests have confirmed that drugs containing poisonous chemicals killed at least 13 women and sickened many others at a government-operated camp in India.
The drugs were given to the women after doctors performed an operation to prevent them from having children. As we hear from Marcia James, the incident raises questions about such operations at health camps.
Amar Agarwal is the health minister in the Indian state of Chittagong. He says the antibiotic drug, Suproxen, was given to women who had the sterilization treatments earlier this month. He says the drug contained zinc phosphide, a chemical commonly used in rat poison. Many of the patients felt sick to the stomach. They started vomiting and reported severe pain after they went home and took the medicine. In the following days, at least 13 women died and many others became extremely sick. The state government has taken legal action against the local drug company that supplied the antibiotic used at the camp. The owner and his son were arrested on fraud charges. D.G. Shaw is Secretary General of the Indian Pharmaceutical Association. He says the tragedy calls attention to the need for increased government regulation of small companies. He says such businesses sometimes do not adhere to good manufacturing practices, what he called GMT.
They are governed by the state drug commissioners. Though on paper they say everybody is complying, they do not comply. And as has been reported in this case, in spite of poor GMP standards, the state drug commissioners had not taken adequate action for closure of this unit.
The tragedy has also turned attention to the custom of performing mass sterilizations at government-run camps. The Indian government supports use of such operations as a way to control population growth. India is home to 1.25 billion people. It is the second most populous country in the world. At the camps, doctors operate on large numbers of patients, although the government denies there is any use of force. Women are offered a monetary incentive of about $10 to have their fallopian tubes removed. The operation is called a tubectomy. Voluntary groups have raised concerns about India's sterilization program. They say Indian women are not given enough information about other methods of contraception or birth control by state health workers. They add that the workers are often under pressure to line up women to have tubectomies. Other questions have also been raised about the conditions in which the sterilizations are performed. Nibeda Phukan is with the Center for Health and Social Justice, a group based in New Delhi.
You can't operate any women after 4 o'clock. And per day, not more than 35 women. Everything has been violated in this all mass sterilization camps.
About 4.5 million women were sterilized in India in the year that ended in March 2013. Observers say the latest tragedy will put the government under pressure to reconsider population control methods. I'm Marcia James.
Now we learn about a health issue in Ukraine.
The government in Ukraine is threatening to stop financial support for hospitals and medical services in areas controlled by pro-Russian separatists.
Now people living in the areas of Donetsk and Luhansk face increasing difficulties getting needed services. Jerry Watson has more on the story.
Viktor Kuchkovoy serves as health minister of the region the rebels call the Donetsk People's Republic. Right now, his decisions could affect the future of the rebellion against Ukraine's government. If the government stops paying hospitals and doctors in the east, the insurgents may face anger from people living in the Donbas area. And that is exactly what the government in Kyiv hopes will happen. Dr. Kuchkovoy says the pro-Russian fighters have been preparing for their loss of financial support. He says they are hoping to make the best of their resources. He says the fighters monitor or watch over the 193 medical centers under their control. And, he says, they direct humanitarian aid to where it is most needed. The aid comes mainly from Russia, and the medical teams in the rebel-held areas have not received their pay for months. The doctor said that, even before the announcement about halting financial aid, the government in Kyiv has been cutting support to the east. Ukraine's Prime Minister, Arseniy Yatsenyuk, defended the government decision to cut payments for public services. On his Facebook page, he blamed Russia for any suffering because he said it incited the current conflict. The United Nations says more than 4,000 people have died in the conflict in eastern Ukraine. More than 10,000 others have been wounded. It seems unclear whether the rebels can deal with the humanitarian challenges caused by the conflict in the coming weeks. Observers say the rebels in Donetsk seem better organized than those in neighboring Luhansk. A 40-year-old woman named Yulia demonstrated the mood of some residents as she stood in line for food set up by a local businessman. She said, "The aid banks operated by separatists in Donetsk give out less food than the private aid center." I'm Jerry Watson.
I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Anna Mateo. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is.
And check us out on Facebook or our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.